Today's shiur is Masechet Balbasu, Daf Kuf Samchei. We will begin on Daf Kuf Samch Dalet Amud Beis, four lines from the bottom. Omer of Amram, Omer Rav. Shalosh Averis, the three Averis, that Ein Odom Nitzlohem B'chol Yoyim. Very difficult for a person, as Mepharshim explained, to avoid. Mepharshim say, of course, they're avoidable, because were they not avoidable, you could never be punished. One of the foundations of our belief is that we have bechira, we have the choice to do the right thing or the wrong thing. If these are averus that a person doesn't have a choice, then how can we be punished? Certainly, they represent serious averus, difficult to avoid, but avoidable. Hira aveira, having immoral thoughts, iyun tefila, and there are many pshatim in iyun tefila. Rashbam explains that iyun tefillah means that after a person davens, he's certain, he's convinced that his tefillahs should be accepted. And having that type of attitude is obviously improper. Tosfos learns that iyun tefillah means that a person doesn't have proper kavana during tefillah. Another pshat I saw from the Panim Yafas is that iyun tefillah means that a person during tefillah, in our standard nusach of the tefillah, there are really two types of tefillahs. There's tefillahs where a person davens for his own needs, and tefillahs that person davens b'kvoyt shemayim. And this person, when he davens, he only speaks and thinks about what is for his own personal benefit and doesn't think what is for the kvoyt shemayim. I saw a very beautiful vart from the Divrei Yecheskel. The Divrei Yecheskel says that we know that after Shlomo HaMelech inaugurated the Beis HaMikdash, Shlomo HaMelech was mispal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that every time somebody comes to the Beis HaMikdash, well, not only if somebody comes to the Beis HaMikdash, but even he just directs his tefillah towards the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem should hear those tefillahs. And then Shlomo HaMelech ends his tefillah with the famous words, we say it every day during Sukkot, the tefillahs that I davened to Hashem, Yekroivim Yoyim V'Layla Lassas Mishpat Avdoi Mishpat Yisrael Amai Kodesh Baruch Hu, should fulfill this bakasha. What did Shlomo HaMelech mean? Says the Divrei Yecheskel, what Shlomo HaMelech meant in that tefillah was that a Kodesh Baruch Hu should help. The Tosfos just says iyun tefillah means that many times, unfortunately, we daven without kavana. Shlomo HaMelech was being mispalt to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that if we daven without kavana, which obviously a tefillah without kavana is not very worthwhile, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should add the kavana, should give it the tefillah, the power of a tefillah of kavana, and thereby hear our tefillah. And Lashon Hara. The third aveira that the Gemara says that a person falls into every day is Lashon Hara. And again, the Mashah says, back to what we said at the beginning of the shiur, since the Gemara says these are the averis that unfortunately a person so commonly transgresses, says the Mashah, what is the way to avoid transgressing these three averis? By learning Torah, he says, and by being mashplus atzmai, by somebody acting with humility and modesty, that is the way a person can overcome doing these averis. A very nice fart from the Imri Emes. The Imri Emes says that every time we say Kedusha, we say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. We say the word Kadosh three times. What's pshat that we say the word Kadosh three times? That there's the three averis that the Gemara just identified that are so easy to transgress. How does a person avoid transgressing? By recognizing that we Jews are Kadosh, we Jews are holy, we're different, we're better, and that helps us avoid doing these averus. Ask the Gemara Lashon Hara Salka Daitach. The Gemara says that a person says Lashon Hara every day. Ella says the Gemara Avak Lashon Hara. What the Gemara means is that it's difficult to avoid Avak Lashon Hara. What is Avak Lashon Hara? Two pshatim. One pshat Avak Lashon Hara is to say a statement that it in itself is not necessarily Lashon Hara, but could be interpreted as Lashon Hara. The best example always given is if somebody says there's always cooking going on in somebody's house. That could be interpreted as a very positive statement, that these people are machnas orchim, they have guests all the time. But it also could be interpreted as a very negative statement. It could be interpreted as people who are always partying. That's one pshat of Akel Lashon Hara. Another pshat of Akel Lashon Hara, very connected to the previous Gemara, is that Akel Lashon Hara is that the statement itself is not Lashon Hara, but could easily bring someone to speak Lashon Hara, and that's why it's considered Avak Lashon Hara. As says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Marav, Roy Begezel, most people do gezel. And again, the Mefarshim say, do most people outright steal? How can we say that most people steal? Rather, what the Mefarshim is saying is, that most people steal, they take shortcuts in their business transactions with other people, meet by Reyes. There are some people that do immoral acts, v'hakol b'lashon hara. Ask them, b'lashon hara salka daita? Does everybody speak lashon hara? El avak lashon hara. It's very hard to avoid speaking avak lashon hara. And that's why the Mefarshim say, the Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, Eila hadvorim, ashadibim Moshe abnei Yisrael. The word Eila stands for avak lashon hara. Moshe Rabbeinu specifically warned Klal Yisrael to avoid lashon hara, avak lashon hara, which Al Gemara says is difficult to avoid. But of course, says the Chofetz Chaim, that if one pays attention and is careful, certainly he could avoid speaking avak lashon hara also. The Gemara identified these three averis. The Mefarshim say that these three averis actually stand for the word egel. We know that the first and greatest sin that Klal Yisrael ever did was the egel. Egel stands for arayas, gezela, lashon hara. Another pshat, we know that the pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu got into a battle with the Sarah Shel Esav, and Rashi says, achahela avak, the dust of that battle went up to the Kisei Kavod. What does it mean? What it means is that the Sarah Shel Esav, which represents the Satan, the Yetzirah, tried to get Yaakov Avinu to do an Avera, but he couldn't get him to do an Avera. The only Avera he was able to get was Avak. The Gemara says Avak Lashon Hara. So Gemara says, Ruben Begezel, Umiyat Barayis. Most people do Gezel and some do Arayis. It's a very nice pshat from Yehuda Osad, based on this Gemara. We remember that when the Eishes Potiphar tried to seduce Yosef, so Yosef responds to her that my master Potiphar trusted me with everything in the house. What was Yosef saying? Yosef is saying most people do gezel, and I don't do gezel. What's the proof that I don't do gezel? That Potiphar trusts me. He knows I wouldn't steal. So if most people do gezel, and I don't, certainly arayis, which the Gemara only says miyit do arayis, I won't do. So as another pshat that I saw, interesting pshat, certainly not posh pshat, and roi begezel or miyit barayis, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes the world for gezel only when most people are transgressing gezel. Where do we see that? By the Mabel. Because when did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring the Mabel? Kimala ha'aretz chamas. The entire world was stealing. But when it comes to Arayis, even if an individual does that terrible Avera, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu punish the world? What's the proof? The proof is, as soon as there was just the Avera, one individual, Simri, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought a terrible Magefa to Klal Yisrael. Very interesting concept that I saw. So the Gemara says, Roy Begezel. Most people fall into the Aveir of Gezel. So the story with Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was once a guest in someone's home, and the person in whose home he was a guest had money on the table. And the person, the host, said, I have to leave. No problem, you stay here. You're my guest. The host comes back, and he finds Rabbi Yisrael Salanter standing outside. Why are you sitting outside in the cold? Why are you not indoors? He says, if the halacha is that one is not allowed to do yichud, one is not allowed to be secluded with a woman, certainly where the Gemara says it's only miut, only few people do arayis, so certainly gezel, where most people, the Gemara says, have this, don't know how to avoid stealing. You can't be alone with someone else's money. So you left me in the house with money that didn't belong to me. I can't be left alone with someone else's money. However, the Divrei Makir, this is a story for Bishrol Salanta, the great tzaddik of Bishrol Salanta. The Divrei Makir in the Tshuvas discusses this question. Why is there only yichud on Arayis? Why is there no issa yichud on Gezel that I shouldn't indeed be allowed to be left alone with your money? So he explains as follows. When the Gemara here says, Roy Begezel, it doesn't mean that most people steal. It's not true. Most people aren't ganavim. It means this, Roy Begezel, that people look for shortcuts, that people try to avoid doing what's 100% honest and ethical. So being left alone with someone else's money is not a problem, because people, Klal Yisrael, aren't ganavim. What they do have to be concerned about is the shortcuts that people try to take. So we learned in the Mishnah, the halacha of a get mekusher and the get pashut, and Shimon Gamaliel made the statement of hakel k'minig ha-medina. And as we learned the Mishnah, we said we would discuss what this means. Which seems to mean, this is the way we should explain the Gemara, that Shimon Gamaliel's opinion is that we follow the minig ha-medina, which seems to be that the Tanakhama doesn't follow the minig ha-medina. So why? And the Mepharshim explained the Gemara's question on two levels. One is, we know the halacha everywhere is that we always follow the minig ha-medina. So why shouldn't the Tanakhama in this situation follow the minig ha-medina? That's one way of learning the Gemara's question. Furthermore, the question is even deeper. Because we learned in our Mishnah that the opinion of Tanakhama, unlike the opinion of Chanina ben Gamliel, is that you have to write the shtaris, the documents, exactly as Chazal told us to write them. Meaning, the Tanakhama holds that if you have a regular shtar and the edim are on the back, or vice versa, a get mekusher and the edim on the front, it's disqualified. Why? Because you didn't follow exactly the rules. So why over here, why doesn't Tanakhama follow the minhag ha-medina? Ask the Gemara, the Tanakhama, less than minhag ha-medina, says the Gemara. Amar Rav Ashi, ba'asrid in the higi pashut, in a place where the minhag of that locale is to write a shtar pashut, v'amalei, and the person instructed the cipher, ovidli pashut, write a shtar pashut, v'ozal ovidlei mekusher, and the cipher didn't follow the instructions, and he made a shtar mekusher, k'peda. It's a disqualified shtar. Because he didn't follow my instructions. I gave clear instructions, and that's the minig in that place. However, the Rishonim debate, what will be the halacha where I told the cipher, write a shtar pashut? And he indeed, and that's the minig amokim. And he didn't do what I said. But you know what I say? He didn't do what I said, but it's fine anyway. Will that shtar be a kosher shtar? Some say, no. Given that he didn't follow my instructions, given that he didn't follow the minig medina, it's possible. Others say that no. If I don't care, why should the halacha care more than I do? On the other hand, nehigi mekusher. If the minig hamokim is to write a shtar mekusher, and furthermore, vamalei, and I instructed the cipher ovidli mekusher, make me a shtar mekusher, v'ozel ovidlei pashut, and then he disobeyed and he made a shtar pashut, again, k'peda. Certainly I care. Ki pligi, what is the machloikus of the Tanakhama? Rishimah Gamliel, but asrud in the higi v'poshut mekusher. With a minig ha-mokum, there's no specific minig ha-mokum. You can write poshut, you can write mekusher. V'amalei, and then I instructed the cipher, ovidlei pashut, write me a shtar pashut, v'ozel, and he didn't listen. Ovidlei mekusher, he made a shtar mekusher. Masover, the Tanakhama is of the opinion, k'peda. I wanted a shtar pashut, and if he didn't listen, the shtar is possible. Or masover, and the other mandama holds, mar mokum huloi. I told him to make a pashut, but not that I care, and if he makes him a kosher, it's fine. A number of points. So that in machlok Tanakhama Rishim Gamliel is if he didn't follow my instructions. Tanakhama holds, if he didn't follow my instructions, it's possible. Rishim Gamliel says, I really don't care, I just gave him that instruction. So the Rishonim debate, the Gemara speaks about Rav Shimon Gamliel, the following circumstance. I told him to make Poshut, which is an easier shtar, and he chose to make Mekusha. What would be that? So Rav Shimon Gamliel says, it's no problem. What would be the halacha, just the opposite? I told him to make a shtam a kosher, and he made a shtam poshet. Some Rishonim say, again, Shimon Gamliel will not care. Because I really don't really care. Whatever he does is fine. That's one way of looking at it. Another way the Rishonim say, no. Here the halacha will be that it's possible. Why will it be possible? Because as we learned when we began this perek, a shtam a kosher represents a delay. It's longer to write. It isn't effective right away. So if I set a poshet, which will be effective right away, which is easier to write, and he wrote him a kosher. So Shimon Gamliel says, I really don't care. However, in a situation where I told him to write him a kosher, so what does that mean, say these Rishonim? I want to delay the effectiveness of this document. And now the Sofer went and wrote a poshet, which will be quicker to write and effective earlier. It could be Rav Shimon Gamliel will agree with the Tanakh comment that that isn't acceptable. Another interesting machloikas achroim. Here we're speaking about the machloikas Tanakam and Rav Shimon Gamliel if the Sofer didn't follow instructions. Tanakam is very strict about it. Rav Shimon Gamliel is not so strict. But as we discussed in our sugyas, there are other halachas, another minhagim regarding how a get is written. I said at the beginning of the parak, is that the word get, it was gematria 12, that a get should be written with 12 lines. So what would be the halach if somebody instructs a sofer to write a get, and he doesn't write a get of 12 lines, more or less? What would be the halach? The Mishkanus Yaakov says if you follow the opinion of the Tanakama, the get will be possible. Because certainly he wants him to write the get, as is the minig, and if the sofer didn't follow the minig, the halach will be the get is possible. The Chazon Ish disagrees. The Chazon Ish says that it's only regarding the type of shtar, that if he gave a clear instruction, he has to follow that instruction. But nobody gave the cipher instructions. You have to write a get of 12 lines. And maybe the minig, but the husband didn't give the cipher that instruction, and therefore even if the cipher didn't write a get of 12 lines, it won't be automatically disqualified. Amar Abaye, one more very important word from the Ritva. I think the Rashba says it also. The Ritva and the Rashba say that this machloikis that we have between the Tanakam and Shimon Gamliel, where the person's instructions were not followed, is that an issue or is that not an issue? Says the Ritva, it's only a place where we could not be sure. Where the Tanakam says there may be a reason for his instruction, so we have to assume that he had a reason. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says, doesn't mean necessarily that he had a reason. But if it's obvious and clear that the person didn't have any specific reason for giving this instruction, everybody will agree that the instructions aren't to be taken necessarily that literally. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Rav Shimon, Rav Elazar, all of them are of the opinion, the Mar Makom Hulai, that the instructions shouldn't be necessarily taken that seriously. Rav Shimon Gamliel, hold on, Mar, the case that we just learned, that even though he told the cipher to write a Shtar Poshet, if the cipher wrote a shtam a kosher, it's fine. Rav Shimon, where do we find this concept of Shimon? The Tanan, Rav Shimon Omer, im hita l'shvach, harezim mukadashis. Which means as follows. A woman appointed a shliach to accept kedusha on her behalf. And she tells the shliach, my husband, is going to be giving you a silver coin to effect the kedusha. And he ends up giving a gold coin. The halacha is that the Kedushin is a valid Kedushin according to Rav Shimon. She said silver. She didn't mean it has to be silver. She thought it's going to be silver, or she had reason to believe it's silver, but gold is fine. But it's very interesting. If we learn the Gemara Masechta Kedushin, the Gemara Masechta Kedushin says as follows. When is there such a halacha, says the Gemara, that if the woman sends a shliach to accept the Kedushin on her behalf, so even though she said silver and she got gold, it's fine. But what would be the halacha, says the Gemara, if she herself is accepting Kedusha from the husband, and the husband says, I'm going to be Mekadosh you with a silver coin, and he gives her a gold coin. There, says the Gemara, the Kedusha will not be valid. Why don't we just say, she doesn't really care, says the Rishash, a beautiful explanation. The Rishash says like this, if a woman sends a shliach to accept the Kedusha on her behalf, she has to tell the shliach what kind of Kedushin is acceptable to her. Otherwise, how could the Kedushin be valid? So there we could say, even though she said silver, she doesn't mind if it's gold. But in a case where a woman is accepting Kedushin by herself, So a husband doesn't have to tell the a chassan doesn't have to tell the kala what kind of coin he's giving her. She'll see it herself. So if the chassan tells the kala what kind of coin he's giving her, and she says, fine, that's the kind of coin I want, there we have to be concerned that she specifically wants that coin and no other coin, and the kedusha would not be valid if even a more expensive coin were given to her. Rabbi Lazar, the Tanan. We learned in the Mishnah. A woman tells a shliach, accept for me to get in this specific place. The kibla lama makam acher. And he accepts to get for her elsewhere possible. That's the opinion of the Tanakhama. Rabbi Lazar matcha. Rabbi Lazar says, it's fine, even if he takes it elsewhere. What's the machlokes? Masov, the Tanakhama holds, kpeda, that she specifically wanted that type of a, she specifically wanted that. Well, Masover, whereas Rabbi Lazar holds, she didn't mean dafka that place. Elsewhere is fine, mar makam hula. Ask the Pnei Yeshua Gevaldige Kasha. Mar Masechta Gittin, when it brings down this machloikis, says it's regarding a woman. A woman tells a shliach, except for me to get in this place. So the halach is, even if the shliach takes it elsewhere, at least according to Rabbi Lazar, the get is a good get. Why is the get a good get? So the Gemara Masech to Gittin explains, because a woman can be misgareshes, can be divorced by Karcha. So where she gets to get is really not that important. It's not really in her control anyway. But let's say the husband tells a shliach, I want you to give my wife to get in a specific place, and he gives it elsewhere. Then Allah, even Rabbi Lazar will agree that the get's not valid. Ask the Pnei Yeshua. Our Gemara is talking about the husband giving the instruction to the Sofer to write. So how's Al Gemara comparing Rav Shimon Gamliel to Rav Lazar? Rav Lazar is speaking about the wife giving instructions. Rav Shimon Gamliel is speaking about the husband giving instructions. So we're comparing apples and oranges. Pnei Yeshua's kasha. Answer to Pnei Yeshua, based on the Ritva that we mentioned before. The Ritva we said that Rav Shimon Gamliel will hold, what is the base of Rav Shimon Gamliel's? And everybody actually agrees with that, that where you don't care, it doesn't make a difference. Everybody will care. Well, there's no reason to say that he cared. So says the Pnei Yeshua. You know why the Tanakhama holds that if the husband told the shliach, give the get in place one, if he gives it elsewhere, it's not good? Because giving a get is an embarrassment. He doesn't want to be embarrassed. This place, he doesn't think it will embarrass him. Elsewhere will. However, in our Gemara, back to our situation, where the husband wrote, says, give a get poshet, write a get poshet, and the sefer writes a get mekusher, So Rabbi Lazar will say, why would he care? Like the Ritva says, why do you care if it's a get poshet or a get mekusher? And therefore, even Rabbi Lazar, says the Pnei Yeshua, who's of the opinion that the husband instructions by a get have to be followed, will not necessarily hold that way by the cipher's instructions to the cipher, because why should he care what kind of shtar the cipher wrote if he wrote a mekusher instead of a poshet? So we learned in the Mishnah that a poshet shekasa by eirechot, a poshet that has an eid echot, and a mekusher that has two eidim is disqualified. Says the Gemara, Bishlam mekusher shekasa by shnei eidim. A shtar mekusher that has two eidim is possible. There's a very big chiddush. Itzrich. Sakadach techmina. Because we would think, hoyo ba'al mekusher, typically a shtar with two eidim is certainly a kosher shtar. So here too, a get mekusher with two eidim is kosher. K'mashmalan, that's why we have to learn the apostle. Ask the Gemara, el poshet. The situation of a shtar poshet, shekasa by eid echod, that's poshet, is pshita, vad it's poshet. How can we think that a shtar with one eid is kosher? Answered Gemara, the chiddush of the Mishnah is, Amar Abaya, by nitzcha dafila eid echod b'ksav, eid echod b'peh. Not that there weren't two eidim. There were two eidim, but the two eidim aren't both signed in the shtar. One is signed, and one is an eid b'peh. Teaches us the Mishnah, that's not good. A Meimer, Achshur, Beit Echa B'Ksav, Beit Echa Peh. A Meimer said that it is acceptable. Ask the Rishonim the obvious question. How could a Meimer say that if you have a shtar, that the two Edom aren't signed on the shtar, it should be a good shtar? Whoever went to Yeshiva knows that Apishne Edom, Yakum Dov, you need two Edom signed on the shtar. So I saw a number of Pshatim in the Rishonim how to understand a Meimer's opinion. One pshat is, as we said many times, why do you need two eidim on a shtar? Because two eidim create a kol, create everybody knows that there was a deal. Everybody knows that these persons' assets are mortgaged. So Maim says, what's the difference if they're both signed? One is B'Ksav, one is Balpeh. The noise, the call that's supposed to be created has been created. One pshat. Another pshat, which is probably the simplest pshat. Of course a Maimer agrees that you have to have two Edim signed on the shtar. The case that a Maimer and a Bayer are debating is a situation where you have two Edim signed on the shtar, but only one of those signatures was certified. A Bayer says if both signatures weren't certified, it's not a shtar. And a Maimer says if you have two signatures and one was certified, it's good enough. A third pshat that the Rishayim suggests, going back to Gemara that we learned, Masech to Gittin, the Rav Elazar's opinion is the Edim is Sira Karti. You don't have to be signed on the shtar. Watching the transmission of the shtar is good, is actually even more important. Edim is Sira Karti. And that's the Machloikas. Abaye says you can't combine the signature, the Edich Sim and Edim is Sira. The two different, they work with two different mechanics. Rameimer is of the opinion that Eid Masir and Eid Chasima can combine. Now we have another Machlokes Rishonim. So we have here a very fundamental debate between a Meimer and a Baya if Eid Echa Balpeh and Eid Echa B'Ksav is a kosher shtar. To what degree? So some Rishonim suggest that the Machlokes is a Machlokes of real extremes. That a Baya will hold that this shtar is meaningless and a Meimer will hold it's a full-fledged shtar. That's one opinion I saw. And Rishonim, you can even collect from Lekuchas. Another opinion that I saw in the Rishonim is that a Baya will hold that the shtar is meaningless, and a Maimon will hold you can only use the shtar to collect from Bnei Chayr, but not from Lekuchas. And the third opinion I saw in the Rishonim is that a Baya will agree that even though the shtar doesn't have the full strength of a shtar, but at least to collect from Bnei Chayrim, it will be adequate. And a Maimon will go step further, where a Baya holds it's only good to collect from Bnei Chayrim, a Maimon will hold it's even good to collect from the Lekuchas. Amma lay Rav Ashi Lameima, asked Rav Ashi Tameima for Hod Abaye Mai. Abaye says that Erech B'Ksav, Erech V'Peh is not good. What will a Maimon say to Abaye's statement? Amma lay, Le Shmi lay. Klaima lay Shmi lay. A Maimon, as we just explained, doesn't agree with Abaye. Ask the Gemara, we're back to our original Kasha according to Maimon. El Kasha Masnissen. According to Abaye, the Chiddush of the Mishnah, that a Shtar Poshet with one Eid is not good, is to teach us that Echa B'Ksav, Echa B'Peh is not a good Shtar. But according to a Maimer, that Echa B'Peh, Echa B'Ksav, Echa B'Peh is a good Shtar, we're back to where we started. What does our Mishnah when it teaches us? That a Get Poshet with only one Eid Echad is possible. What is the Mishnah teaching us? Answer the Gemara. According to Abaymer, the Mishnah is teaching us, Kamashmon, the Shnaim Mekusher, when you have only two Edim signed to Shtar Mekusher, it's Ke'ed Echad B'Poshet. It's treated just like you only have an Eid Echad B'Poshet. Ma Hosam, just like by a Shtar Poshet, if you only have one Eid, P'sul D'Raisa, M'D'Raisa, that Shtar is meaningless. Af Hocha, Nami, by Shtar Mekusher, also P'sul D'Raisa. A Shtar Mekusher with only two Edim is disqualified M'D'Raisa. And here too, the debate amongst the Rishonim, how to understand what the Gemara says. Some Rishonim say, when the Gemara says here, the Shtar Mekusher is possible, it only means Midrabonim. Because how could you say it's possible Midraisa if you have two Edom signed on it? It means that Midrabonim, if you use it as a get, the child will be a Mamzer Midrabonim, and she gets remarried. It's only possible Midrabonim. That's one pshat I saw in the Rishonim. Another pshat I saw in the Rishonim, very interesting pshat. If you look at a Shtar Mekusher should not really be valid. Why? Because as we learned in the first mission of our Perek, where are the Edim signed on a Shtar Mekusher? In the back. And normally, Edim signed on the back is a disqualified Shtar. Chazal said that even though the Edim are signed where they're not really supposed to be signed, it's still a Kosher Shtar. Says the Gemara, when did Chazal say so? When did Chazal say so? If you follow all the rules of a Shtar Mekusher, meaning you have three Edim. But if you don't follow all the rules, then what you wrote is meaningless. It has no validity. And it's not going to be considered a get at all. And if a woman relies on that get and gets remarried, the child will be a mamzer midaraisa. A third shot I saw in the Rishonim is that the Gemara here is referring not to a shtar get, a divorce document, but rather to a shtar havo that we just spoke about in Rabban Aleph, that typically a shtar havo creates a lien. And the Gemara here is teaching us that when is the lien created? Only if you follow all the rules. If not, it won't create a lien on the Mishabot. Teda. Neshach matam chavrai l'Rabbi Yirmiyah. A few words of introduction to this Gemara. One is to go back to Gemara that we learned at the beginning of the Masech, the Daf Lamed Ches. If you recall, when we learned the Gemara spoke about if somebody has a nest, and a bird is found within 50 amos of that nest. The Gemara says any bird found within 50 amos of the nest must have come from that nest. So Rav Yirmiyah asked the Shaila, what would be if you have a bird that 1 foot is within the 50 amos and one foot is outside of 50 amos? What's the halacha? So we learned the Gemara says, Ado, for this question, Rav Yirmiyah was expelled from the Beis Medrash. Why? We learned two pshatim. One pshat is because it's a foolish question. 1 foot here, 1 foot there. Another pshat that we said, it's a good review, many, many blad ago, is that all the shiurim of Chazal are that way. If you say a shir kazayis, so is anybody going to ask him if it's a drop less than a kazayis or a drop more than a kazayis? A shir is a shir. So 50 amos means 50 amos, and if it's within, it's within. It's without, it's without. So he was sent out of the Beis Medrash. And the way the Yaivitz explains what happened was, Rabbi Yirmiyah was originally from Bavel. He came to Eretz Yisrael to learn. Went to yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. Now he was expelled. So he went back to Bavel. He was expelled from the yeshiva. And now the Gemara will begin asking certain questions that were sent from Eretz Yisrael to Rabbi Yirmiyah in Bavel. Teda. The Shoch Mitam Chavrai Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah colleagues sent Rabbi Yirmiyah the following questions. Exactly the question that we discussed, a nameless question. Can one aid written on a document and one aid al peh combine? There's a machlaikis that Amit Hashem, we're going to learn in Masechta Sanhedrin. The machlaikis of Rishu ben Karcha and the Tanakama. Rishu ben Karcha says as follows. If an aide walks into Beis Din, or there's a document signed by one aide that comes to Beis Din that says, I borrowed money from you on Sunday. And another aide says that I borrowed money from you on Monday. According to Rishu ben Karcha, even though they're speaking about two different events, but the bottom line from both of these testimony is that I owe you $100. And therefore, Rishu ben Karcha says that these two aidim can combine. Tanakam says, no, they're not talking about the same event. He's speaking about Sunday. He's speaking about Monday. So says Rabbi Yirmiyah in answer to this question. I'll leave the Tanakam to Rabbi Shuma Karcha. According to the Tanakam of Rabbi Shuma Karcha, that says that two Edom can't combine, even though they're both saying or they're both written, they still can't combine because they're not speaking about the same event. Loiti Boiloch. The Fil Shnaim B'Ksav, the Shnaim Alpeh, according to that Manda Omer, Loimit Starfi. However, says Rabbi Yirmiyah, when is this question a valid question? Do we say only if Shnaim Baksav, both Edom are signed to a document, or Shnaim Apeh, both are saying oral testimony, Hudim and Starfi, that's when the two Edom could combine. Aval, Erech Baksav, Verech Apeh, one Ed Baksav and one Apeh, Loimit Safinim, we can't combine them because they're too different. Idoma, if according to Rishu ben Karcha, if one aide is saying that this happened on Sunday, and one aide says it happened on Monday to combine, it doesn't make a difference if it's one oral, and one, if both are oral or both are written, or one is oral or one is written. Idoma loishna, shalachlai, so Yirmiyah responded, ani eni kadaisha shalachtamli. I'm not really worthy that I should be the person that you should ask this question. Ela kach das tamitchem noita. If you do want to hear my opinion, I think that according to Rishu ben Karcha, you'd start for they ought to combine. Amalei, so he said, and not Hachem Mislimalei. This is the question that we heard
was sent to Yirmiyah. And not Hochem Sninalei, the Shoch Aleich Avrayel Reb Yirmiyah. This was the question sent to Reb Yirmiyah. Shnaim She'idu, you have two Edom. One said testimony B'Bezdin Zeh, one said testimony in one Bezdin, Vech V'Bezdin Zeh, and one said testimony in another Bezdin. But the two Edom did not say testimony together. They each said their testimony in different Batei Din. Now, She'yav Bezdin Eitzel Bezdin, can one Bezdin combine with the other Bezdin, the Tzarfu, that we should have here a full-fledged testimony. And again, the Gemara refers to a machlokes that we're Mitzvah Shem going to learn in Masechta Sanhedrin. A machlokes between Rav Nosson and the Tanna Kamma. Rav Nosson's opinion is that if two Edom say testimony, we always need, as we just said a moment ago, two Edom. But if two Edom don't say testimony together, it doesn't make a difference. They can't combine. Whereas, according to the Tanna Kamma, two Edom to be considered valid testimony have to say the testimony together. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yirmiyah said to them, and leave it to the Tanna Kamma, Reb Nosson. According to the Tanna Kamma that disagrees, Reb Nosson, Loi Tabai Loch, there's certainly no question. Because he holds that Fil Bechad Bezdin Nami, if two Edom said testimony in one Bezdin, but they didn't come together, according to him, the Loch is Loi Mitztarfi. The question is, El Kiti Bailoch, when is this a valid question? I'll leave it to Reb Nosson. According to Reb Nosson, when Reb Nosson says that even though the two Edom didn't say testimony together, they still can combine, when did Reb Nosson say that? Is it only B'chad Be'edinu Hu D'Mitztarfi, when they said testimony in one Bezdin? Ava Trei Batudina, if the two Edom, not only didn't they come together, but they said testimony in different Batei Din, then they can't combine, or perhaps it makes no difference. And here too, Rav Yirmiyah responded, and Rav Yirmiyah responded, Ani, any kedai shatam shalachtam li, I'm not really the right person you should have asked this question. What I think is that according to Rav Nosson, that they ought to be able to combine. The two Batei Dinim could combine. Says the Rishonim, in understanding Rav Yirmiyah's Psak. Certainly say the Rishonim as follows. If one aid said testimony in front of a Bezdin, and another aid said testimony in front of another Bezdin, and members of the first Bezdin, two members of the first Bezdin, come and testify in front of the second Bezdin what they heard from that aid, that will be fine. It won't be considered a problem of aid me p8 because they're not really saying anything new. They're just reporting what they heard. Furthermore, even though we're going to Mitzvah Shem learn, still in our Masechta, a sugya of ain aid nasa dayan, that somebody who's an aid cannot turn into a dayan, everybody will agree that dayan nasa aid. So even though these people originally were Dayanim, who accepted testimony from the Edom, they could turn into Edom. What is the question here? Well, it's not that they're saying testimony, the members of one Bezdin are turning into Edom to say testimony. We want to combine the two Batei Dinim. And here say, most Achroinim, that the only way this will be effective is we create a new Bezdin. And who will be the members of the new Bezdin? The first Bezdin, the second Bezdin, all combine into new Bezdin, combine the knowledge that they heard from the Edom, and then Rabbi Yirmiyah will say it's a valid Bezdin, and testimony and valid testimony has been heard. Continues the Gemara. This was the question that was sent to Rabbi Yirmiyah. Shnaim Shidu Bezdin Zeh. Two Edom said Edus in one Bezdin. The Chazru Veidu Bezdin Zeh. And then they said the exact same testimony in another Bezdin. And now these two Edom aren't here. Ma'a shivo ech mikol Bezdin, can we take a member of each Bezdin and yitztarfu and combine? Says the Gemara, leave it to Rav Nosson like the dialogue. According to Rav Nosson, it's certainly acceptable. Because according to Rav Nosson, hashta edin mitztarfinin, if Edom, who don't say Edus together, still could combine to be valid Edus, the Yoni certainly could combine. The boy, certainly they could combine. Al-Kiti Bailoch,
When is this a question? I leave it to Tanakama to Reb Nosson. It's a question according to the Tanakama who disagrees with Reb Nosson. What do we say? Do we say Edom, that he holds that the Edom, if they don't say testimony together, Loi Mitzarfin can't combine. Alva Dayoni, Dayorim can combine. Odoma Loi Shino. And this, Sholach Lehu, again, Reb Yirmi responded, Ani Eina Kedai Shishalachtam Li, I'm really not the person you should have asked this question of. But if you want to hear my opinion is it's darful. The fourth and final version of what was the dialogue with Reb Yirmiyah. Ravina Mahoka Sholchalei, this was the question that was sent to him. If a Bezdin of three members, which is the amount of people you need to have a Bezdin, sat down to certify a shtar, and they actually went through the keying process, but before they could actually write the hempik, before they actually could write the certification, one of them passed away. They have to write the Mois of Tlos of Avina. We originally sat as a Bezdin of three members, V'chad L'soi, and one is no longer here. Oiloi, or did they not have to add those words, V'chad L'soi? Sholach Lehu, and he responded, you shouldn't have asked me the question, who am I? L'kach Tadis Mitchem. Night, if you want my opinion, the right thing to do is write this nusach that we sat down as a group of three, but one is missing. Why? As the Rishonim explained. Because if we're just going to follow the regular language of the Kiyum, which the regular language of the Kiyum is the Mois of Tlos of Avina, that we sat as a group of three, but here what's going to happen? The nusach of the Kiyum will be the Mois of Tlos of Avina. But since one of the Dayanim passed away, there will only be two Dayanim signed. So it will look like something's wrong here. It says that there are three, and then we only find two signatures. So to avoid the appearance of something being wrong, he says right into the shtar, but Master Tlos Chavina v'chad l'soy. And on this question, the Reb Yirmiyah to answer these questions, or last question, so properly, and with such humility, I lure Reb Yirmiyah Lebrei Midrasha, they allowed Reb Yirmiyah to come back to the Beis Medrash.